You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. What was your New Year's resolution? You know, sometimes it's lose some weight, maybe get in shape, maybe stop smoking. Turns out, quitting cigarettes is harder than just going cold turkey. My next guest says cigarettes are designed to be addictive, and we've heard that before, as well as engineered to make quitting almost impossible. Nancy Casperson is a nurse and a tobacco cessation specialist. She works with St. Alphonsus, and she has been helping people quit smoking for 30 years. And she has a new class starting just this week. I want to welcome Nancy live to the program. Hi, Nancy.
Hi, Gemma. Good to see you.
Good to see you. So you know this journey firsthand because you used to be a smoker, right?
Correct. Uh-huh.
So tell me about, you know, first how you started smoking and then what made you decide you wanted to quit. And then, I mean, the process of quitting, right?
Right. And what I believe is all of us in our lives are affected by tobacco, even if we aren't the person who picked it up. But you could have been, I could have been. And I didn't smoke because my parents had told me not to until I was in nursing school. And it was very stressful. And I was sitting in the dorm and a couple of gals were smoking and they said, here, this will help your stress. So there's two experiences people have with smoking. Usually they either throw up and fall down, and then they try it again, and they eventually get used to it, or they get high as a kite, and that was my experience. That cigarette made my head buzz. I had never felt anything that felt like a rush, and it's a rush of a chemical called dopamine, and that's why it feels good. So I did it again, and I did it again, and within 6 months of nursing school, I was buying a pack a day. And I smoked for about 12 years, and I moved to Sun Valley to learn how to ski, and I was also working as a nurse. And I got emphysema when I was 32, which I'm pretty active, so that was really a drag.
That had been shocking,
right? It was shocking, because I thought I maybe had a, you know, like pneumonia or strep throat or something, and I just, so the doctor showed me this x-ray, and he said, well, you better quit smoking. So I thought, okay, well, that's a no-brainer, right? So I did. And then I started again, and then I quit again, and I started again. So this is in the 1980s. Mm-hmm. And I probably started and stopped over 3 years, probably 30, 40, 50 times. And it would be a few days or a few weeks or a few months, but I always went back. And my own personal struggle, nobody knew how to help me back then. It was, people would just say, pull up your bootstraps and quit. And I would, and then, and lo and behold, for me, and this isn't true for everybody, Gemma, the denominator that I did not want to put into this equation was every time I started smoking again, I happened to be out dancing at Whiskey Jack's with a beer in my hand.
So but you hear that a lot from you, people.
Stress and alcohol are the two most common reasons for people to relapse. And avoiding alcohol isn't easy, but it can be done. Avoiding stress is really super hard.
Right. Mm-hmm. What is interesting to me is you hear these stories about people saying, I only smoke when I have a drink, right? Mm-hmm. But they're still smoking. So is it still, is it hard even with it, when it's something like that, when it's part of kind of a pattern?
So part of smoking is, part of it is a brain chemical addiction to the drug of nicotine being delivered through, whether it's Copenhagen, chewing tobacco, snuff tobacco up the nose. It's an addiction to a drug. About 85% of people who start using nicotine in any form, and then you can go to the vape and the Juuls and all the other stuff. If you start using nicotine, about 85% of people will get addicted to that, which is way higher than the addiction level of alcohol. Alcohol addicts maybe 20% of the people who use, 20% of Caucasians. So you only have about 15% of those people who can smoke only when they're camping or only when they're drinking. And they happen to just been lucky in that percentage. And most of the people I work with, they're not the lucky ones, because the lucky ones, they really could just smoke once in a while. Most people are addicted, and you have to look at it like any addiction. If you're hooked and addicted to something, that means your brain's structure and chemistry has changed in a way. It's changed the rest of your life. And you can get sober off of alcohol, sober off of cocaine, sober off of cigarettes, but you're still addicted to it. And if you use it once, it can relapse you back to where you were. And literally, sometimes for people, it's one drag off a cigarette. And it's all about the brain chemistry.
So what was put in place for you that finally allowed you to quit?
Well, the question asks a lot, and I say the moon and the stars lined up. But really what happened is I had to sit down and look in the mirror and say, why do you keep smoking? And then the little other voice says, because I like to go drinking and dancing. And so I was never an alcoholic, but when I went out partying, I always would drink and I always would smoke. So I said, okay, Nancy, you're not dumb. 6 months, no alcohol. And for 6 months of no alcohol, I had no cigarettes. But at the end of 6 months, all I could think about was whiskey jacks, drink and smoke. So I extended it another 6 months. And then by then I was starting to live. And you know what's interesting? When you give up things like that, I found out I could go out dancing. And after a while, I could go out dancing, but I never drank again because I've always felt like the trigger for me with alcohol and cigarettes is so strong. Even today, so I haven't had a cigarette in like 28 years now, but I wouldn't, if you said, here, want to have a beer, I'd say no. Mm-hmm.
But those don't go hand in hand for everyone who smokes,
sometimes,
right? This is your story.
That's mine, but it's a common story. What goes hand in hand for some people is a cup of coffee. Some people it's, that they like Diet Pepsi or regular Pepsi. Mm. Some people it's they always have to smoke after dinner. So everybody kind of has the attachment habitual part. But if your brain's addicted, you have to break both the behavioral habitual parts along with treat the nicotine tobacco addiction, which is what comes into a lot of what we teach in our classes, is there's a lot of ways with good medical treatment to approach this addiction that makes it easier, not only easier, but it makes it more successful. The least successful form of quitting is cold turkey because the withdrawals are horrible and it's really difficult to make it.
So you brought up very, very quickly vaping, and we've talked about vaping on our program here before because this is something that we're seeing more and more of. And now there's more research coming out saying that vaping is as addictive, if not as, or more addictive than cigarettes.
Mm-hmm.
Are you seeing people coming in who vape, or is this still something?
Oh, a lot.
A lot.
And most of the adults, they were smoking for a long time. They went to vaping in part because they wanted to be able to quit smoking. And then they come to our class because they can't get off the vape. And sometimes the dosage of the nicotine in vape is so much higher than they think that they're actually, like if somebody's smoking a pack of Marlboro a day and they go to vape, it's really easy to use more than that. So they actually become more dependent on a higher dose of nicotine. So it's very difficult for an adult to go from cigarettes to vape to nothing. It's more easy, or less difficult, I should say, and more successful if a person goes from using a tobacco product or a vape product that they're addicted on, and then they use appropriate nicotine replacement medication, because built into the nicotine replacement is actually a way that it helps your brain start to go in recovery. So the faster the hit of the drug, like through vape or a cigarette or snorting tobacco up your nose, the faster the hit of the drug, the more addictive it is. So the nicotine medicine allows there to be a gradual time when your brain goes into recovery, and it actually structurally reduces the number of nicotinic receptors over a period of months. But people don't understand how to use these medications well. But with vape, definitely can help people get off of vape.
I'm speaking with Nancy Casperson. She is a nurse who helps people quit smoking. And I want to talk about this program, Nancy, because you work with St. Alphonsus to get people to stop smoking. And your program is called Quit with Nancy.
Right, it is.
Okay.
It's because I had to keep it. It used to have a different name, but nobody could remember it. And when I'd say, what's the name of my program? They say, I don't know. I just quit with Nancy. So I didn't actually, nobody could remember my program name. So I made it simple. So I've worked with tobacco users since 91. I contracted with the state of Idaho health districts for 12 years. So I worked with 15,000 people in the state, around the state. And that's where I learned a lot from Mayo Clinic doctors, but I learned the most from working with people and my own experience. And so what I have found is that most adults want to quit, and they try, but they're not successful. And all that does is beat up their self-esteem. Mm-hmm. They feel terrible. And so they don't want to try again because it was miserable, or they just feel guilty. So my goal is to help them outsmart big tobacco. And if you look at how much money big tobacco has spent to engineer and design a tobacco product that's almost impossible to quit, their engineers are very smart. They have really smart people engineering drug delivery systems designed to hook people. So if you look at kids who've never used anything before and their brain functions okay, you give them nicotine through vape or a cigarette or any of that, it introduces this new chemical in the brain and it literally breaks their brain. So when people learn more and they get smarter, they can outsmart this addiction. But not if they don't understand a lot about the brain chemistry and the treatment options and how all that works together. And that's what our program at St. Al's
does. So I'm going to ask you, so what makes your program different then? Because there are smoking cessation programs everywhere. Because, yes, smoking rates have gone down, but they're actually on the rise because of vaping.
It is, yeah. I think what makes my program different is I start with the assumption that every person I work with is a really smart person. They're smart. They're just not smart about this one topic because it has them in a jail. They're in prison with this addiction. And part of what they have to come to grips with is this isn't just a stinky habit. It's not just a bad habit. Mm. It's not an unhealthy habit. It is that. It is hardcore drug addiction, the level of shooting heroin up your arm. It's just as fast and just as addictive. And so when people start to face this, then they can say, well, because I say, you're just a drug addict. We can help you. But if this is
something. But that's got to be a hard term.
It's totally hard. So the first night of class is at St. Al's, so that's coming up this Monday. The first night of class, it's 3 hours long. It's based on a professionally done video that's what we use, but there's a facilitator and a nurse that facilitates. But they walk in, and their motivation to quit, we do 0, 5, 10. Well, you walk in the door. Here's 0 means somebody made you come. 10 is you'll do anything to quit. Most people are 4 or 5, and it's because they've been beat up so much in the process by themselves or their doctors or the family. So they're 4 or 5. So nobody can quit until you can teach them things to motivate them. So I teach them the things they don't know, and when they understand that it's not their fault that they can't quit. It's actually designed and engineered. There's a really great reaction. By the end of the first night, they're no longer beating themselves up. They're angry. And there's nothing better than getting someone angry at big tobacco and angry at the pharmaceutical companies who don't help them enough with medication. You know, so that the anger shifts from themselves to big tobacco. And they're like, well, if I would have known that they put in about 1,000 chemicals to make it more addictive. And that's like, you know, if you're cooking it in your kitchen, you could never create tobacco to be this. So they get angry and then they walk out the door the first night and they go, okay, you better teach me how to quit because now I want to. So my goal is by the end of the 4-night class, not that they quit during that time, but their motivation goes from a 4 to a 6. And then by Tuesday night, they're up to a 7. And by Wednesday, all Wednesday night is teaching them what is the best treatment options for them. And they're like, well, why didn't my doctor tell me there was nicotine? There's actually nicotine nasal spray that's prescription. There's nicotine, an inhaler, not vape, but it's a medication. They're way better. Nobody even knows they've been out 20 years and people have never tried it. So they have to outsmart this addiction. And my whole program is that's what it's based on and support.
And are you concerned with vaping in the sense that, and I said this already, but smoking numbers were going down. Mm-hmm. They were decreasing. We saw that over the last, 20-some years. The fact that it's now on the rise because of vaping, and we're seeing it in younger kids. We're seeing it in middle schoolers and high schoolers.
Correct. So now I do a lot of metaphor teaching because brain chemistry is too boring. So imagine that in your brain, you have a little bottle with dopamine in it, and that's your cool brain chemical, and it goes drip, drip, drip. And you mentioned earlier you have a couple kids. They have same thing. They go drip, drip, drip. And that as long as it goes drip, 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 you feel okay. What nicotine does is it goes in and opens that bottle wide open, squeezes the dopamine and floods you. So you don't just feel okay, you feel like, cool, I feel great. But the problem is every time you do that in any form, it could be vape, it could be Juul, it could be cigarettes, it could be any form. Every time you open that bottle up and squeeze that little thing, what it's dripping, imagine you have one guppy in your brain and that guppy goes, feed me, and all it needs is one drip a second. And then you give it like a whole big rush and the guppy goes, whoa, that was wonderful. So what that guppy does is it gets hungry and it says, I need that again and I need it again. Mm-hmm. And when it does that, it calls in all of its sisters and brothers and cousins, and those guppies multiply multiply, and those are actually nicotinic receptors, but they start to multiply, and pretty soon you have 500 of those saying, feed me, feed me, feed me. And if you don't comply and you don't feed that with the nicotine, the bottle puts a cork in it, and your dopamine is there, but it's stuck. So the fish get hungry and mad, and they're just angry, and they're talking to you the whole time. So your brain is set up for that. Your children's brains are absolutely set up for that. And the kids' brains, teenagers' brains, 10-year-old brains, they cannot differentiate the nicotine in Juul, vape, cigarettes. Mm. All their brain does says, cool, that released a lot of dopamine. I feel great. And now today, kids are getting addicted just as fast on nicotine products with Juul and vape, maybe even faster because it's so much more discreet. They're not having to sneak behind the barn.
So no, you see it everywhere.
Everywhere. Yeah. You see it everywhere.
And I need to wrap you up, but very quickly, tell people about, because your class starts Monday, correct?
Correct.
If people are interested. Mm-hmm.
So I have a contract with St. Alphonsus. It's under tobacco-free living. You can go to the stalphonsus.org, quit. But the number is 208-367-7373. People can register today. They can call in Monday. But the class starts Monday in Boise in the main St. L's Hospital. You go in the front door and there'll be signs. And it goes from 6 to 9 o'clock. It's 3 hours, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. In February, we'll have a class in Nampa, same program. And we do it in Ontario next week again, and then Baker City. So all four hospitals. And the good thing about this, we're under the mission of St. Alphonsus, and the mission says we're here to help our community. So this is a free program, completely free. And people who come to the program and finish the four-night program, they get my DVD for free. And if you go to my website, which is Quit with Nancy, if you want to buy my DVD, it's going to cost a lot of money. Mm. So my contract with St. Al says, let's reward these
people. Go for free and do it.
Go for free. Plus, you're in a group, and you've got facilitators, and you can come back. It's a really, really great, I mean, you can't beat free.
Right.
I tell people, you know what, if you come the first night on Monday, at the end of the night, if you don't like it, we'll give you your money back, and you don't have to come on Tuesday.
So, I want to thank you for coming in, Nancy.
Oh, you're welcome. It was wonderful. Thank you.
You've been listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette.